Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is a question and answer from Radio Maarif. We're here to help you out on any questions related to theology, philosophy, and other ideological questions. Today I'm here with Mr. Barati, as usual. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum to you and your audience. I'm fine. I'm ready for your questions.
Okay. Just before we go to our first question, I would like to give the telephone number to our audience. This way you can reach us and forward us your questions. The number is 0098, which is the country dial of Iran, 251-2910-551. Okay, let's go to the first question.
Do you think if the Prophet or one of the Imams were present and able to voice their opinions publicly about their followers in the West, what would they say? And do you think they would be content?
Yeah, what do you think about this? If the Imam would be physically present amongst us, what would his opinion be about the Muslim community? Yeah, would they feel in a negative way about it, or in a positive way? What is your opinion on this?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you very much. This is a very good question, which is concerned in the circles in the West also, and in the among the Muslims. I mean that are we really good Muslims? Mm-hmm. Do we represent Islam, or does our behavior represent the real Islam or mm-hmm. not? I think no, because not now, from centuries, our philosophers and thinkers had told that what is practiced here in Islamic countries and also by Muslims in the West is not representing Islam. Mm-hmm. If Westerners, if audiences, if masses in the West want to find Islam through the behavior and the conduct and the practice of daily life in Muslim among Muslim societies today, mm-hmm. it is not enough for them, because always there is a gap. There is a gap between standards and between the present behavior of Muslims. They have okay. to show a very good model and a very good pattern for Westerners.
Yes.
What is Islam saying and what is Islam wanting?
Mm-hmm.
And Islam, as you know, is not only for Muslims. Islam is a gift from Allah for the whole mankind. And non-Muslims are target of a message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Muslims are.
So I would like to offer a counterpoint to this mm-hmm. argument.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you are aware of this feminist writer from Canada. I think her name is Irshad Manji.
Mm-hmm.
She says that Islam is a religion which is corrupted, if I'm right, because the Prophet himself said Islam is the way we behave. So Muslims, okay, they are not behaving well. So Islam is not good either. What do you say about this?
I think she wanted to point to a fact, but was not able,
mm-hmm.
and deceived the readers and the audience.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to say that what is practicing now is not so attractive,
mm-hmm.
is not so good, has no message for Muslims in the major, for example, in the major cases.
Mm-hmm.
But in minor is different. In major cases, behavior of a Muslim or a Muslim society cannot be attractive and cannot be pure and cannot be informative and a guidance for non-Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
It is okay. But Islam is not corrupted. Muslim society is corrupted. Mm-hmm. It is not a model and a standard Muslim society. You cannot find a society that we can say this is our model. But we don't have models. We don't have patterns.
But if we don't have any role models, then what's the use of the clergymen of today in this time and age? Because if there's no such person able to present mm-hmm. Islam mm-hmm. as it is, then who should we follow?
Mm-hmm. The clergy have a very decisive role in this regard.
Mm-hmm.
The clergy is the one who always notices and give advices to the society and give alarm and a kind of notice to the society that what are you practicing, please compare it with the standard
mm-hmm.
and shows them that this is not the standard. You should bring your behavior higher and closer to the standard. This mm-hmm. is the role of a clergy, like mm-hmm. Like a physician.
Yes.
Like an expert of hygiene in mm-hmm. the society. For example, some people are doing and behaving in a way which maybe is harmful for their hygiene and health.
Yes.
So the physician and the expert gives them this notice that please take care. This is against your health. This mm-hmm. is against your hygiene. Please notice that standards and regulations say that you are harming and you are doing bad to your health and hygiene. This is role as the prophet himself is also coming to give notices to people. People also, they can understand, but in the most of the cases, their reason, their wisdom, their mentality is covered or is suppressed by some desires.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be according to the standard. They like to have, for example, a standard life. But some desires or some neglecting things or some ignorances covers their light of wisdom. So also a physician, also an expert of hygiene, also a clergyman. A clergyman wants to give warning, and his duty is to give warning to the society and give them notice that you, please take care. Are you helping your health or you are harming your health? So we are responsible, all of us are responsible, especially da'wah people, propagators, clergymen are responsible, and it is good. It is recommended for the society to respect and to admit their responsibility in this regard, like a physician.
But how can we discern between true clergymen and imposter clergymen? People mm-hmm. claim okay. to be an imam or whatever, but at the same time, you know, they don't have a real understanding of Islam and what it's like and how they should profile themselves in society.
Okay, there are two kinds of clergymen. One kind of clergyman is the one who wants to maintain his position and his welfare and his, for example, respect by any way. Either if it is against his duty, against the values, against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is another kind of clergyman sacrificing for his duty,
mm-hmm.
like prophets, peace be upon them. Some of them were killed, some of them were martyred, some of them were jailed, some of them were tortured. But they did their duty and didn't expect rewards from people or from governments or from powers or superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, we have this problem. There is a kind of conflict between duties and welfare mm-hmm. or privileges in the life.
Yes.
The clergy, which finds his way and discovers what is duty and follows it, is a good clergyman.
Mm-hmm.
And the clergy, which is following his desires or his, for example, position in the society, or for example, is fearful or is afraid of powers, this is not a good clergyman. Mm-hmm. And cannot help.
One interesting thing that one of my teachers pointed out was this, that in the Quran you can find stories related to people who either are looking for power for collecting wealth, or they're looking to satisfy their lust, or they're either looking for Allah, for truth. So
this kind of criticism, the Holy Quran directs to clergymen from Christianity and Judaism. Yeah. And also it is possible, very possible, that clergies in Islamic Ummah also trap in this situation. Mm-hmm. So they should avoid this kind of trap.
But isn't it like this, that, you know, everyone inside themselves is a little kernel which, you know, which likes power, which likes lust, you know, like,
of course,
in the end, these type of things, it's something that we are all attracted to in a way, you know, but we need to suppress it. But because of this,
we have to choose, because always if you like, you can find wealth and welfare and power.
Yes.
But there are two kinds of welfare and power. One is materialistic, belongs to this world,
mm-hmm.
and another world belongs to hereafter.
Mm-hmm.
All of the imams, all of the IMF were following power, but not this materialistic and secular power.
Mm-hmm.
Power in the hereafter, in heaven, in front of God.
Yes.
They wanted to be loved, to be to enjoy, but some they select enjoying of this life, be loved in this life, and prophets and imams and saints selected to be loved and to be in welfare in hereafter, in eternal life. Also, there are traditions from A'immah, from imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, from Holy Prophet of Islam, and from former prophets of God during the history. They told, we are seeking enjoyment and welfare and to be loved and to be in power, but you don't know. We gain it. We gain it for our eternal life, but you gain it for a, for example, short course of life. This life is short, and you cannot have guarantee that you, when you follow this, when you follow your desires, you can maintain it for the whole life. Maybe for one day, 2 days, 1 week, 2 years, 3 years, then you are collapsed, and you have to be punished, and you have to receive the reaction of what you have done. So, really, people which are following the values, for example, spirituality, they like this kind of values, but not for here, because there are two ways. You have to sacrifice one of them for others. Either you gain for this world and lose the other world, which is eternal and which is endless, or you gain what belongs to that world, endless world, and lose a part of. And it is very possible that you can gain both of them with each other, because you pray every day in your prayers at least 5 times. Oh Allah, please give us hasana, goods in here and hereafter. So it is possible to combine, to have both of them. But if there is a time to choose or and sacrifice one for another, man should be. Imam Hussein alayhi salam did this. Imam Hussein sacrificed welfare and rest and peace in this world for his hereafter, for his eternal life. If he sat down and didn't rise up against Yazid, he could enjoy life and he could enjoy rest and peace of mind, and sit in a side, and even maybe they gave him millions and milliards.
Yeah,
and
Yazid even offered him a position with wealth, so,
yeah,
but he didn't accept
it. He sacrificed this for that, because he had a duty.
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet and Islamic Ummah expected him, when the Ummah, the people are in danger, when Islamic freedom, Islamic values are in danger, he should uprise and sacrifice. This was given to him by Prophet, peace be upon him. And Prophet pointed to him, this child of me, my grandson Hussein and also Hassan are models for you. When they sat down, you sat down. When they make peace, you make peace. When they make war, you make war. You follow them. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam knew all of this and told, this is time for my uprising according to what Prophet has given to me as mission. So I have to sacrifice my life, life of my children. I have to, for example, trap my family in being captives of war and to be, for example, taken from here to there to Kufa to Sham because of Islam and because of freedom of people, because of democracy, because of Islamic values, because of humanitarian values. So I have to sacrifice. If not, if I sit down and be safe, the whole nation and the whole Islam and the whole rewards of and achievements of Prophet is in danger. So I have to make a kind of selection. Choose one. So I choose this and leave that.
So in itself, it's not wrong to conclude this, it's not wrong to look for things that fulfill our desires or, for example, to look for wealth as long as it's in balance with the rules that Allah has set for it.
Yes, that's true. And for Westerners, Jesus Christ is a model. Jesus Christ also could sit aside and leave the clergymen and that time in Jewish society to do what they want and to change everything they want and to govern people and to suppress people and to change religious values. But he shouted against them. He rised against them. And he fought against them, and even he understood that if not today, tomorrow, they will come to him and torture him and even are ready to kill him. But he followed his mission, and every Christian person can understand this.
And it's also one thing which is interesting, there's a certain parallel in this respect between Imam Hussein and Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, because even in the Bible we can find that there was a period during his life that people, they were selling animals inside the temple and he chased them out with violence with a whip. So you know, this doesn't really correspond with the Western idea of Jesus Christ being a pacifist. You know, Jesus was an active revolutionary fighting against corruption.
Of course. So, and according to their creeds, he sacrificed his life for this. So, in Islam also. And every clergyman should have models from prophets, from imams, from saints to follow his way and to sacrifice.
You said that Jesus sacrificed his life for this?
Was ready to sacrifice. Islam we say, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا سَلَبُوهُ, they didn't kill him, they didn't, for example, execute him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him to, but he was ready. He was ready, and he understood that this is a kind of revolution, and maybe causes lives, maybe causes blood, causes, for example, rest, and even he didn't seek for wealth. He didn't build for himself a house. He didn't use, for example, very precious dresses. He was in revolution.
Yes.
And he was in preaching and in propagation all the life. So clergymen should be like this. So you can now find the real clergy and the pseudo clergy and false clergy. It's easy to recognize.
Thank you very much. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah, Allah hamdalillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah, Allah subhanallah. hamdan lillah. Okay, salam alaikum again, we're back. This is question and answer of Radio Maarif. Before we go on to the next question, I would like to repeat the telephone number on which you can reach us to forward your questions or suggestions. The telephone number is 0098, which is the country dial, followed by 251-291-0551. Okay, let's go on to the next question.
In which way are the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, compatible with the life in the West?
Yeah, wouldn't be the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, alayhum salam, be outdated for this time and age? I mean, you know, they lived a long time ago in times very different from our own. So in which way can we live up to these type of rules which they have set out for us?
As you know, the Western life is now in a very need of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And after an experience of secularism and atheism in society, in the politics, in education, in ethics, in media, in all aspects of life, now there are demands from different parts of the society and different countries declared that we want to come back to spirituality, we mm-hmm. want to come back to religion. So this is a kind of need that everywhere is filled, and even from the Pope, from Benedict XVI, there is a demand to European unity that please let the church come back to the society.
Yes.
And also a lot of people, a lot of scientists, a lot of philosophers, a lot of activists, they are trying to come back to a new kind of spirituality and spiritual life and religion which is compatible with this modern life.
Yes.
And you know, there are some kinds of needs for a human being which doesn't belong to a special or particular period of history. For example, being in need of food, every individual needs to be nourished. Mm-hmm. If he or she doesn't have food, so will die soon or late. Also, is in need in of breathing, of air, mm-hmm. is in need of water. So this is not different and is not changed according to the history and ages and, for example, medieval ages, modern ages, ancient ages. This is stable. This is eternal. If there is mankind, needs of this is also existing and mm-hmm. is continuing. These are examples for physical needs. Also, there are examples of spiritual need. A spiritual need like, for example, code of conduct, mm-hmm. like values, human values. Now, also, people which omitted and deleted the religious values from the life,
yes.
they had to bring another system of values. But they told, we bring secular value system, ethical system. For example, code and law, we bring them for you. And all of these are now examined, and they were not successful in their examination.
Mm-hmm.
The atheist life, the secular life, is now with big problems, engaging with big problems. So they have to come back to morality, to spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
But what kind of morality? What kind of spirituality? What kind of religion? This present Christianity is not enough, is not answering.
Mm-hmm.
If it was answering the society, if it was solving problems of society, they didn't have to omit it,
mm-hmm.
to rise up against it, to make revolution against it, to make France Revolution, to make, for example, modernization, to have, for example, Protestantism. So this kind of Christianity is good, but is not enough. But it's not sufficient.
What you see in the West is a existentialist trend.
Yeah.
Meaning that people think they give meaning to their own life. Yeah. They are born as nothing, mm-hmm. but they give shape to their own life, to their own belief systems and their place in this world.
Okay.
And judging from this, I think their reply would be, well, I don't need any religion to tell me what to be or what to believe in. I have, even if they do believe in God, they would say, well, I give shape to my own belief system. I don't need the teachings of any prophet or family related to any prophet to tell me what to follow.
Okay, I'm talking them with the same logic.
Yes.
That you have to form, and you have to select. You either you innovate something, or for example, bring something new, or you have to take parts of this or that, or a system completely, or a part of this system and that system, and shows that you have examined a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
and you were not successful, because nowadays you have very, very big and serious problems.
Mm-hmm.
So existentialism is not new also. It's at least 100 years of life they spent for existentialism.
Mm-hmm.
But they could not solve the problem.
Yeah, what is interesting is that some of the worst wars that ever took place in history was shortly after that era of existentialist thinking.
Yeah.
Because shortly after that, you know, like thinkers.
Second World War.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It happened in the same time.
Yeah.
So means that mankind is in need of heaven,
mm-hmm.
is in need of spirituality, of metaphysics,
mm-hmm.
of Allah, of God. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I told that they have noticed to this. They are coming back. So, Ahlul Bayt school of thought is which can complete all of the spiritual life. For example, Christianism and Christendom, and also Islam, the present Islam, for example, Islam of Taliban, Islam of Al-Qaeda, they have something insufficient. They are in need of some parts to complete and to renew them and to modernize them. This is teaching of Ahlul Bayt.
Mm-hmm.
They neglected teachings of Ahlul Bayt from the first day of Islamic history. Because of that, their Islam is led to this fanatism, this extremism, this terrorism, this kind of fearing people in the West, and they have Islamophobia now, because Islam, which is fearing them and frightening them, is not Islam of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The Islam misinterpreted, and Islam mispracticed, Islam misrepresented, it is the problem. But if they come and hear Islam from the real mouth, the real representative, the real spokesman, which are Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasallatu wasalam, they can solve them the problems.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Islam is a religion of violence. They said no. Islam is that says that if they violated you, you don't violate them. If they, for example, killed you, you don't have to kill them in the most of the cases.
Better to forgive
them. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Not to propagate your religion by killing, mm-hmm. by terror, by genocide, but especially killing civil people. They are not fighting you. They don't have weapons in their hands. You are not in a battlefield.
They don't wear uniforms. They don't wear guns.
In their daily life. They have no fault. They are not guilty. They are not polluted with, for example, killing people, with mm-hmm. genocide. They are living their life. They are not Muslims. Only they are not Muslims. You have no right
this.
To kill them. This is Islam of Ahlul Bayt, which can notice us to this.
Mm-hmm.
But this official Islam didn't tell us. You know, after seven years of terrorism and September 11th and Taliban and Al-Qaeda, nobody dared to say that this is not Islam.
Mm-hmm.
What is practiced in the West is not Islam. Islam is against it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody dare to say this. Because
you know, it has the outward form of Islam, but is devoid of any real spirituality, I think.
Of course.
Yes.
This is the tactic belong to Marxists.
Mm-hmm.
Marxist says, yes, you have this right to kill people,
mm-hmm.
to kill innocents, to kill civilians. If you want to be successful, you can use any kind of method for fighting and for revolution and for example, your battle and campaign. Islam says, no, even if you are defeated, you have no right to use some of these methods. For example, you look at Karbala, an issue of Karbala. It was very easy for Imam Hussein and his followers to destroy their enemies by terror in different cases. But they never started this. And this is Quran teaching us this. Quran, when tells us a story of two sons of Adam, peace be upon him, as the first prophet on this planet, two sons of Adam. One of them started to think about killing his brother and told, I will kill you. Declared to him that I will kill you. Mm-hmm. What was the answer of the other son of Adam, Habil? This was Qabil, which started to think and decide to kill his brother. Okay? And not fairly, not justly, sinfully, started to think about it and to declare it and then practice what he told. I will kill you. لأقتلنك. Quran says, no. Habil answered, ما أنا بباسط يدي إليك لأقتلك. إني أخاف الله. إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين. If you start to kill me, I never retaliate and kill you. Even if you start, you want to kill me, I don't follow this way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't accept a work or a kind of jihad or a kind of effort for religion and for him, which is polluted by this kind of sin, killing innocent people. So but this is Quran and interpreted by Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. But unfortunately, Westerners, they don't have a chance to listen to this kind of Islam. Islam is misinterpreted and misrepresented to the West, and they have right if they are frightened, if they are frightened from Islam and Islamophobia, we cannot consider them guilty about it, because Islamophobia has roots in behavior of people which show themselves representatives of Islam. But media, I can tell that they are guilty and it is their fault, because they know very well that there are different methods, different schools of thought, different madhab, different sects in Islam. There are minorities in Islam and there are majorities. They can say to the people, to their audiences, that this is Islam of Taliban, Islam of Salafis, Islam of Wahhabis, and this is Islam of household of Prophet, which is suppressed from the first day among the Islamic society. And against all of the emphasizes of Prophet, peace be upon him, one of them in the day of Ghadir Khum told, أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي, أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي, أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي. Please, please take care of my Ahlul Bayt and follow them and respect them and take your religion from them. A few people were loyal to them. And now the minority which is following Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, everywhere is suppressed, everywhere is killed, everywhere is terrorized, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, in Yemen, in all of the countries, they are suppressing governments, Westerners, and terrorists. All of them are unified to kill these people and to genocide these people and to never give them chance to speak out and tell what is real Islam.
Thank you very much. Okay, to conclude this, I would like to read some verses from Dua Kumail. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Allah, I find no forgiver of my sins, nor concealer of my ugly acts, nor transformer of any of my ugly acts into good acts but you. There is no God but you. Glory be to you, and thine is the praise.
Allah, 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 Allah. حنانيك يا أرحم الراحمين وليس سواك به نستعين صفاتك جلت وقد استمين مكين مطاع وثم أمين وها أنت بالمؤمنين رؤوف شديد العقاب على الكافرين إذا كنت تعلم أرحم الراحمين وليس سواك به نستعين صفاتك جلت وقدست من مكين مطاع وثم أمين الله الله أخاف الذنوب بيوم اللقاء وأرجوك ربي جزيل العطاء فأدعوك ربي يا ربنا تطهر قلبي بنور الهدى إلهي بحق النبي الهدى بحق علي وفاطمة وبالحسنين رفعنا النداء بجنة عدن نفوز غدا اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم.